Welcome back to the Remote Local Podcast. Today, I have my buddy Shayna Denny on. What's going on, Shayna?
Hey, how's it going? Good. Good to be here.
Shayna, can you tell the audience what company you're with?
Sure. I'm the co-founder of DogDrop, and we are small footprint, tech-enabled, convenient dog daycare. So our goal is to put small, convenient locations everywhere so you can drop off your dog, whether that's for 1 to 2 hours at a time or all day.
So how small are these locations?
They're between, we need around 2,500 to 3,000 square feet. So we primarily go after ground floor retail of multifamily properties. So we want to be on the ground floor of your apartment complex so that we're conveniently located for folks.
Oh, very cool. And you are in LA as well, right?
I am.
Nice.
And do you guys have... good to meet another LA-based franchisor as well.
Not many of us, because most people don't want to franchise in California. So it makes sense. I'm in California. We're still not franchising in California.
Yeah. I know. It definitely comes with a unique set of challenges, I guess, but can only go up from here.
Yeah, for real. Well, to everyone listening, Shane and I are going to dive into a lot of just kind of casual conversation about franchising in general. Shane is one of the few people I've had on this podcast who actually is a franchisor, and there's a lot of back-end operation stuff, which maybe you guys are curious to hear about, so we'll dive into that. But Shane, can you tell me a little bit more about just DogDrop? So it's a doggy daycare. You could drop the dogs off for anywhere as small as like an hour, half an hour. Yeah. What's the minimum? Okay.
Yeah, we've been charging 30-minute increments, but I mean, ideally for us is just to make dog care as easy as possible, right? And easy for us means convenient. And as a business, what we really focus on day to day on the back end side is building out the software. So we're essentially want to build the easiest business for an operator to operate. So especially folks that are kind of on the go franchisees, really tech forward, our entire franchise system is trying to focus on building a business in a box that you can fit in your pocket, essentially. So from the software that we build, everything, operations, brand manual, everything there. That's really what we build day to day, all disguised as a dog daycare.
Interesting. So it is a retail location though, right? So like tech forward in terms of the way they're operating and checking people in and out, but a retail location on the bottom floor of a multifamily building.
Yep. And we found that at first we were like, okay, do we want physical retail locations, right? Especially like Uber has no cars, Airbnb has no hotels, that whole kind of thought process. But we actually realized in terms of scalability, it makes a lot more sense that to provide a controlled and safe environment for the dogs. And that because it's not a one-to-one service, right? Like a dog walker is one walker per one dog, that if we have 15 dogs per droperator, our dog daycare attendant, it actually makes a lot more sense.
Gotcha. And I'm guessing there's probably specific cities you can target, which are more focused on multifamily housing. Is that right?
Yeah, I think for us, urban is important, right? Because we have a strong real estate play with multifamily developers. Think of like a Graystar or Continuum, any type of big property developer that sees DogDrop as an amenity so that we could work on unique lease deals with them and as well really cater towards their residents who live above.
Gotcha. What's the initial fee for a DogDrop location?
Yeah, is $45,000 franchise fee.
Okay, cool. And all-in cost would be what?
All in. So say that to open one unit should need around $400,000. We do get a high TI, tenant improvement allowance, back, but we want to make sure that our franchisees are capitalized enough. And that includes 6 months operating cash, all of the above. Of course, everything could vary, market, location, but that's typically what you'd be looking at.
Cool. And you guys franchised within the last year, I believe. What made you say, hey, let's go the franchise route instead of just doing it yourself?
Yeah, the operators. So I think that's for us, but we're super bullish on franchising because of high caliber operators. We're a venture backed business as well. So we could have been let's scale this. Let's open one, let's open two, 10, 20, all corporate owned locations. Of course, that's what any typical VC would look in us. But we decided like, hey, and that's why we say like, we're building the software, we build the brand, we build the playbooks. We want to make this the easiest business for you to run. And now we're just going after high caliber operators who want to operate a four-wall concept and really grow out their portfolio.
Cool. Yeah. It's funny because I got into the franchise for the same reason where I could have just done the Starbucks model of opening up all corporate locations. But after a while, I was like, I don't want to manage all these damn people, right? It's just too many. Like after a while, you just don't want to do that. So even though you can, I think it comes to the point of, well, what are other ways of scaling? And there's a lot more ways now that I think about it than just franchising or corporate expansion. But franchising for us, that was the reason we did it, which sounds like the same thing for you too.
Yeah. And who's going to hopefully do a better job than us, right? You can only have so many core competencies. So for us, especially, it's like we want to really focus on supporting our franchisees, where I think that's a really strong part of what we're building rather than trying to, you know, stretch ourselves too thin as well.
For sure. What are your thoughts about the franchise world since you've been in it?
Definitely. So I'm new to it, probably really the last 24 months in terms of like getting knee deep. And we started franchising earlier in 2022 as well. I think it's been very interesting. My background's a lot more in tech, early stage startups as well. I lived in China, lived and worked in China for about 4 years. Went to business school over there, ended up staying and working there for a few years. So very different work environment. Now almost 6 years ago, moved back in 2017.
I was really hoping you say like March 2020. I came from Wuhan.
straight April 2020, one month after lockdown. Got out of there a couple of years to spare over there. Moved back here, was doing something, working for a EV, an electric vehicle startup. Then started like, I got a dog. Changes the story, you know how that goes, and really saw the pain points as a pet parent. And so I think I'm quite interested in the franchise space right now. I think there's so many interesting people. It's that industry is very shifting. It's like any industry that needs to be shaken up. But I think there's a lot we can learn about folks that have been doing this for like 40, 50 years, that there's really something to it.
So how have you been finding franchise prospects so far? What's been the main avenue for you?
Yeah, so we work with an FSO. They've been helpful as well to help.
What's an FSO?
A franchise sales organization, another franchise specific jargon. And so we work with a franchise sales organization. I think you know, as an early stage franchisor, that was one thing as well, like about not wanting to spread ourselves too thin. Do we want to bring someone on for sales? Should I, as the CEO, be full-time on sales? Everyone has a different philosophy. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, oh, the founder should do 100% of the sales when they start. Everyone thinks something else, right? I think for us and for anyone out there, just do what's best for your business, right? So like, that's kind of how we thought about it. Is where am I best able to spend my time, my co-founder, my team, and then find the right partners.
Cool. And to break it down for everyone, the franchise world, for me getting into it, by the way, Shanna, it was a beast because I wasn't franchising before, same as you. So I get in, I'm like, what? Like, why is everyone trying to sell me? What are all these vultures in the vendor world? Like, it is kind of like vulture, right? Like, I got taken advantage of a lot, especially at the beginning with like, you don't know what you don't know. You hire consultants and like overpriced and like, it's kind of insane. But there's a lot of, because it's a built out ecosystem, a lot of these vendors exist for whatever you want. The hard part is sifting through and figuring out who's legit and who's not. But like an FSO, like Shane is talking about over here, is an organization which is like fully takes on the sales. They can do they do lead gen for you? They only do sales.
They help with lead gen as well. I would say, Neil, we audited, you know, we got it down to 5 to 10 FSOs that we're, you know, kind of excited to work with. But from those 5 to 10s, looking at different proposals, anyone out there, look once, look twice, look a million times. It can be totally brutal out there. And it's a big partnership. So important to make sure that you're finding the right folks. And it's also, as an emerging brand, it's not easy for an FSO to pick you up. They want to see your item 19. So for anyone else, financials of your corporate locations, that's really important. They want to, of course, everyone wants to work with you after they know it works, right? Oh, come back when you have your first 20 franchisees. Well, yeah, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. So it's the same thing, I think, for us as like raising capital. We'll come back when you have 5 locations or 10 locations, anything. Everyone always wants to see more than you have at that stage. But I always am transparent. Like, we're still very early. We launched this business in January 2020. This is where we are today. I can't, you know, get in a time machine, but these are the facts of where we are today in the business.
How was it for you to set up the franchise organization? Did you work with a consultant? How much was all in cost as well?
Yeah, so a few things to step back first. Why did we franchise, right? Mm-hmm. So fortunately, I know Neil and I were just talking before. So we opened our first location January 2020, right? And then, of course, we all know what happened 3 months later. And we're still like, okay, do we open another company, like corporate store? Do we not? Let's hold on. So we decided to hold on. And then around early 2021, I just started reading everything about franchising. So I just went pretty hardcore to learn like for like 8 to 12 months, everything I could, and got pretty obsessed with it before saying like, okay, let's do this. And then during that time was also auditing, like what can, again, going back to our core competencies, like what are we good at? What do we know? What don't we know? And what don't we know that we don't know, sort of thing, in kind of different categories. Cause I think that that last part's the most important, is the questions that you don't know to ask. Yeah. So we ended up working with the franchise consultant group early on, just to get the lay of the land. And in terms of all out fees, I mean, for us, I think the most important part that they helped us is like, what do we need in our item, in our FDD? Sorry. So getting things together for our franchise disclosure document. What is the strategy? What is the pricing? Of course, like I can look back now, what was helpful, what wasn't, yep, what was rinse and repeat. But fortunately, we didn't put in too much money into any third-party consultants. And I think, Neil, you know, I saw an interesting Twitter thread you had out a couple months ago. And I think for everyone that I spoke with, I tried to use the same like tactic. I'm like, we're an early brand, but if we're willing to be flexible now, that we'd want to continue working with you. So especially a lot of the upfront costs can be a little jarring to anyone else out there. You're like, oh man, I'm going to be like sinking in it before I can even get my head above water, selling my first franchise. And so I think if you're finding the right partners, you can be very transparent about your budget and see how flexible they can be with you.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't guarantee them, but that was a huge part that probably cut our costs down in half of what I saw in your Twitter thread. But what you had is 100% reasonable of what anyone would see all day long.
Yeah. And by the way, I had about $100,000 in. I was not as sharp as Shana when I was starting it. What I realized now after being in the vendor world, everything's negotiable. People will say this is a price and you say, no, I can't do it for that price. And like, you know, be willing to walk away, which only works if you have a couple other options. That's the way to do this. I paid top dollar for stuff. And then now I'm looking back, I'm like, that was completely unnecessary. I just thought I needed it. Someone told me I needed it, but not needed.
I did live in China for 4 years. So my negotiation skills are pretty sharp.
Top notch for sure. The thing which pissed me off most when I was getting it set up was, I didn't know how to even sell a franchise, right? And like, of course you get sales training, but what I meant is, how are people even going to find me? I have no concept of this. So because of that, I paid the same organization to build me a marketing plan, which is still sitting over here. I think I paid like $7,000 for it. Like, this is like, I could have come up with this. This is so stupid. Yeah, I opened it. I'm like, this is idiotic. Like, this is so basic. And then I kind of realized at that point, these guys are not really smarter than me. Like, they're not, there's nothing amazing people are doing. They're doing the exact same marketing tactics. In fact, franchise world is typically like 10 years behind the times anyway. So they're like, have you heard of Google AdWords? Like, of course I've heard of Google AdWords. Like, why is this in the marketing plan? Like, this is ridiculous. So it's one of those where it seems intimidating on the outside. And even in the first year for me, it was very intimidating. But then when I got into it, I realized like, wow, these really big brands don't really know what they're doing with marketing and tech. Like, I was very shocked to realize that.
Yeah, I think so. I think the thing for us, I'm like, if I'm going to pay someone, I need them to actually do it. Like, okay, this $7,000, I'd rather probably better putting $7,000 into like paid clicks or something, or meta ads, except not yesterday, but any other day of the week.
Yep. You get a positive ROI from there. And so most of your leads have come through the episode, which is fantastic. So that's just being outsourced. Yeah.
And, you know, I think social as well. Press, I think more organic. Our first franchisee was friends with someone who knew one of our investors and somehow heard about the concept. So to kind of down the rabbit hole that way. And she was also an early franchisee in the Stretch Lab system, and then had sold her portfolio in 2021, then reinvested in Dog Drop last year. So I think as well, I know you probably get a ton from Twitter. I'm getting a ton of lead gen on Twitter as well. And I have zero followers. Yeah. But we are getting lead gen. Nothing's turned into, then you get into quantity over quality and all of the above, who's qualified, our entry price in terms of other, you know, alternatives in our space is quite, low and accessible, but compared to traditional home services, it is a higher barrier.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. And that probably dictates on where you're going to market to as well, right? Like, do the dudes on Twitter have enough money to pay for this? Maybe, maybe not. Right. So that might just separate the audience.
But they know a friend who does. Right. So then they see the concept. So it doesn't matter. Right. People talk, oh, I saw this concept look really cool. You know, $120 billion plus pet care industry, tech forward, all the stuff, too much for me, but like, check it out. Right. Yeah. And so I think that's what's interesting.
Yeah.
Is your concept and like, is what you're posting interesting enough for someone to tell their friend? Like, that's what I think is good content. Like, if I remembered your thread a couple of weeks ago, most people, they'd be like, name one thread. I'm like, I have no clue. Right. But like, is there like one thing that I remembered that you posted, then that's probably good enough.
Yeah. And my tactic has been with franchising. So sharing some numbers, I think like we were doing a combo of, I do social media posting, that's where most leads come from, but we were running Google ads pretty aggressively just to try it out. And I was looking at FSOs, decided I'll keep it in-house, expensive, and I think I could get enough lead for myself. So running Google ads, and you know, I think we're getting maybe not a crazy amount, 30 leads a week, 35 leads a week, something like that. When we stopped Google ads, so there's the leads coming in and the actual amount who book a call with us. Yeah. And I stopped Google ads. The leads, of course, went down, but the amount who book calls were the exact same. And so I realized, like, actually, for me, social audience is just more qualified because typically they're going to read your content a lot more before they actually inquire. And then they kind of like you as a person, or like you, or at least think you're not crazy, right? Like, not a random person who's thrown up a Google ad and trying to get them down the funnel. So for some reason, it's been a lot better for me to actually do this, but it's been an absolute grind. So I'm stoked to hear that for you. You're already getting leads from it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like leads, but then in terms of booking, then to the next stage through the funnel. I think as well, we actually haven't spent $1 on paid ads as a franchise.
Oh, cool. So FSOs through brokers?
We don't use any brokers. It's primarily outbound.
LinkedIn outbound. Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, and a combination of different outbound. So nothing on paid, which obviously doesn't hurt to try. So that's probably next up, but we've kept it pretty lean on that side and ready to look at some other creative ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I guess paid out or just outbound works a lot, especially someone that already knows the pet industry. Then it's kind of like a no brainer. Yeah. Very cool. And how big is your team, your internal team on the franchise side?
Our team, we're about four. And we've kept it pretty lean and just trying to get like one strong expert in each domain. Right. So we have our head of product who obviously leads our digital product. So leads our software and he leads an engineering team. We have my co-founder, our COO. So all of our operations there, we have a VP of franchise who works with us fractionally. He's awesome. He's developed Drybar's franchise system, worked the last few years with Heyday Skincare as well. So we brought him on fractionally almost a year ago as well, maybe May of last year. And so we've kept the team quite lean and then now looking to grow.
Very cool. And what's the goal with the franchises?
Going back to our core goal of our business, right? To provide the most successful and best quality dog care. So we want to have a dog drop at any corner that's near you. So let's get to 400 to 500 locations over the next, 4, 5, 6 years.
Nice. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Shayna, where can anyone contact you or find you?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Shayna Denny, or you can just check us out, dogdrop.co.
Perfect. And I'll put all of those links in the show notes as well. Shannon, thanks so much for hopping on.
For sure. Have a good one.
Thanks again for listening, guys. There are two ways I could help you out. Number one is with May This Franchise. If you want to get into business but don't want to go at it alone, we have you covered with everything from A to Z. Check out madethisfranchise.com to start your own remote local business. The next is with the Remote Local Blueprint, which is a course I launched to teach you the foundations of starting your own remote local business in any niche. It's do it yourself at your own pace, and you can check that out at blueprint.beremotelocal.com.